week is Parshas Kiseitse. Kiseitse la milchama al oivecha. The parsha begins with a war to obliterate an enemy. Al oivecha. Rashi tells us b'mulchemes harishus hakos of medaber. How do we know that we're dealing with the mulchemes harishus? Because if this was a mulchemes mitzvah, take no survivors. No one survived. The pasuk goes on to say, "Vishavisa shivyoi." You will take captives. You will take a captive, and amongst the captives, you will discover a beautiful woman which you want to marry. What are you talking about? Captives? What captives? No one should remain alive. Let's go back to the parasha Shev. The end of parasha Shev. It says. It goes on to tell us all the rules of war, and this refers to the war of conquering the land. Rak me'arei ho'amim ho'ele, from the seven nations of Eretz Yisrael, asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lecha nachala, lo sichayeh kol neshama. There are no survivors. Ki hachareim tacharimim. Those are very harsh words. Those words are genocide. Okay, that's what it says here. Mamish genocide. Ki hacharem, they probably took it out already, the UN, don't worry. Probably removed this from the text. Ki hacharem tacharimem. Utterly obliterate these people. Okay, those words are heavy, heavy words. And we really appreciate the weight of those words. Lo sechai kol neshem ki hacharem tacharimem. Hachiti v'hoimari, hakrani, habrizi, hachi, v'vusi, kashar tzivich Hashem lokech. And here it says, v'ro'isa Vishovisa Shivyoi. There are survivors. There are captives. There are plenty of neshamais. And not only are there neshamais, you're going to end up marrying one of them. If you want to marry one, marry. Just follow the protocol. Protocol is Vishovisa, remove her hair, her nails, and the whole story of an Esha Sifas Toyar. And then, Vahoyisa Lechol Leisha. Torah permits it. So, what's going on here? So Rashi tells us, that's right, don't compare what it says in Parshas Kiseitse to what it says in Parshas Shoftim. B'molchemes harishus akos b'dabar. We're not discussing over here conquering the land, because if conquering Eretz Yisrael, there are no survivors. We're describing conquering other lands. Imperialism. If you want to go out and colonize the world, and you want to have some satellite cities, outside of Eretz Yisrael, you go to war. So there are protocols, what you can do, what you cannot do. And there you may find a nice non-Jewish woman you want to marry. V'chulu v'chulu. Shem v'chemes, Eretz Yisrael, ein loymar v'shev 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 umayis, loy sechay kol neshama. Okay, then, fascinating what Rashi does in the next words of the pasuk, he appears to contradict himself. We're not discussing the Canaanim. The Canaanim of the land have to be obliterated. Ki hacharem tacharimim. It says vishavisa shivyo. There's repetition. The word is a double expression. It could have just said vishavisa. What's the emphasis, the repetition, the verbosity vishavisa shivyoi? If it would just say vishavisa, it would automatically mean that there are captives. So Rashi explains. Shevi. Vishavisa, right. Sifsa Chacham explains that. Vishavisa Shevi. Okay, you find not a Cadillac or a Lexus or a Tesla. No. Vishavisa Shevi. All you got from the war is a Chevy. Okay, no Teslas. No Teslas back in the day. No electric cars. Only Chevys. Vishavisa Shevi said Chevy. It says Shivyoi. So Rashi says something very critical. L'rabois kinanim. What? Kinanim? I thought we just said that we're not discussing milchemes mitzvah. We're discussing milchemes rishus. And milchemes rishus are the other nations that are not the Kinani nations. So Rashi answers. One word. That's right. There were some tourists. There were some immigrants. You go into some other country in the world, and there happens to be there are people, there are immigrants in that country, former Canaanim. There were some Canaanim who used to live in Eretz Yisrael, who made Irida, You think only Jews make Yerida? There are Canaanim also make Yerida. There are also Canaanim who left the land, and they're living in other foreign lands, and you happen to find a Canaani living in a foreign nation. And this is not now Melchemes Mitzvah, so this Canaani, amazing, you're allowed to marry. Had this Canaani been living in Eretz Yisrael, you would have no choice. You would have to kill him whether you like it or not. Hacharem tacharimim. But the very same Canaani who would have been executed without any discussion because he was on vacation, happened to be on vacation living now in another land, and you happen to go to war against that country, and oh, here he is, look at that. Not only do you let him live, if you want, you can even marry that woman. Isn't that amazing?
No connection to the land. He has no connection to the land.
Exactly, exactly. That's very good what you're saying. It's about the land. It's not about the person. It's when, if this woman would have been living in the land, there's nothing to discuss. If this woman is now, was on vacation, she got lucky, she went for to college in America, okay, so she got a scholarship, and she's here in another country, and then you happen to go meet her, oh, look at that, you want to marry her? Not only you don't have to kill her, she's your wife, and you'll have with her children, and those children will be part of Klal Yisrael. It's Mavir al Arayon. What's happening over here? You're going Mamish Mikotze El HaKotze.
But then you're bringing that woman back to Eretz.
As a Jew, you're bringing her back in. That's the whole Kiddush. You're bringing her back to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to shave her hair. Now, because she had the mazel that she was not in the land at the moment when you attacked, she was not in Eretz Yisrael, but rather was in another land. That is why she's allowed to live and she can even be your wife. It's incredible what's happening over here. That's the rules. These are the rules. Okay, this phenomenon is incredible, which requires an understanding. What you really touched upon it, what you touched upon, and that is that it has all to do with the land. The Canaanim are dangerous when they're in the land. When they're not in the land, then they're not a danger. It's an amazing concept. If you only get the Palestinians out of Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't be so. They wouldn't be such a danger. I mean, who says that? Whatever. I mean, if you want to go to that extreme, the danger of the Canaani is being a Canaani in the land. It's lethal. But the Canaani is not in the land. This pasuk seems to indicate they're not so lethal. Mm. Can you say such a thing today? Iran's not a threat. Syria's not a threat. We don't view them as a threat. Are we hearing you saying that the Palestinians living on the West Bank, there are much, even if they don't have a penny to their name, they have no weapons, they have nothing, the fact that they're living in our land with nothing, with no weapons, with no say, with no money, they're a greater threat to our existence than Arabs living with nuclear bombs in another land. Could you say such a thing? I don't know. I'm not saying anything. I'm just making an observation. Okay, spiritually, okay. All right, okay. But that's what it says here. You can't deny that's what it says here. But that's not even the main point I want to make. The point I want to make over here is this is the beginning of the parsha. The end of the parsha, we also deal with the ugliness of war, and that is Mechia Samolek. The very end. This is the beginning. Kiseitzi La Mochama. And it talks about a Mochama that will take place in Yimos HaMashiach. The Mochama is Zachor Eis Asher Asa Lecha Molek Baderech Betzeschen Mitzrayim V'chulu V'chulu V'hoya B'haniach Timche Zecher HaMolek. The day will come when you're going to go to war, you're going to obliterate Timche Zecher HaMolek. And Rashi really says it all. Me'ish Adisha. From man until to a woman. Me'olel, from an infant. V'ad yonek, I was a toddler, oilel, whatever the v'ad yonek, I'm not even sure what the difference is. Whatever the difference is. Mishor v'ad seh. Shelo yehe shem amolek nizkar afilu al ha-behema loymar. Behema zoi. Mishel amolek ha-isa. complete obliteration, complete. No mention of the Zecher, that whole discussion of Amalek, nothing. So let's take a step back, take a deep breath. There are two different nations that we have to obliterate. We forget about, we think, we always talk about Mechias Amalek, we always talk about Amalek, right? That gets all the attention. They have to be obliterated. But you know, there's another nation that has to be obliterated, the Canaanim. And in fact, the Canaanim, what it says about the Canaanim in one respect is even more chomor than what it says about the Amalekim. The Canaanim, it says, Hacharem Tacharimim. About Amalek, it says, Timche Zecher Amalek. Two very different terms. Two very different nations. The Zayin Amamim, Amalek. Amalek is a Milchemes, Amalek is Timche Zecher Amalek. This is a Milchemes Mitzvah of the Canaanim, Hacharem Tacharimim. Complete obliteration. Which is worse? Which nation is so it's very interesting, very different. Very different. Very different. For example, is a woman mechuyev to participate in the battle? Melchemes Amalek, you'd be shocked to learn that according to the Rambam, you know, today women are very makbi to go to hear Parsha Zohar. According to many of the Rishonim, they're not mechuyev to go also because they're not obligated to participate in the battle. It's a battle only for men. It's a battle for the nation. The Rambam appears to say, and many Rishonim, women are not included in the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. It's a man's thing. But what about the Milchama to obliterate the Canaanim? Afilu Kala Mechupasa. Women have the same obligation to participate in the Milchama Hacharem Tacharimam to obliterate the Zayin Amamim. So in that respect, it comes out that the Zayin Amamim are even worse. They're even a greater danger to Klal Yisrael than Milchemes Amalek. That's one example. There are other examples. I don't know all the but look at this. What's going on over here? Two nations have to be obliterated in very ugly terms. I'm sure the United Nations is not going to be very happy to read these psukim either way, Amalek and the Zayin Amamim, but it's very graphic and very ugly. And who is viewed in from the perspective of the Jewish people as being a greater enemy that has to be obliterated even more? Well, on the one hand, the Canaanim. The language is pretty heavy, and Noshim are Chayiv, and there are other examples of the severity. I think it even applies today. Even applies before the times of Mashiach. You see a Kanani. A Kanani has to be executed Hayoim. Amalek? No. Amalek, you don't have to kill today Amalek. Amalek, you could wait until Mashiach comes, kill Amalek. And even when Mashiach comes, not necessarily everyone is eligible. It has to be done as a team effort. By Klal Yisrael, the Melech HaMashiach, and only men go to war. But on the other hand, it says about Amalek, Timche es Zecher Amalek. And as Rashi emphasizes, it cannot even be said that this axe is an Amaleki axe. Nowhere does it say, you cannot say, oh, you see this house? This is a Kanani house. You're allowed. You can go to the whole Eretz Yisrael, called Eretz Canaan. You can say it. The whole land is called Canaan. So, what's going on? Can someone please explain which of these two, we have conflicting signals. Two nations, Mitzad Echad, Canaan is more chomor. Mitzad Sheni, Amalek is more chomor. How do we understand this? And this is the beginning of the parasha, becomes Rishos, but let's see, the beginning of the parasha alludes to it. Vishaviso Shivyoi, we're going to discuss the Canaani, and the end of the parasha is Amalek. So it appears to be an approach to understand is what the Balei Mesora tell us, that Ledibra Torah Elo Kineged the Yetzahara. That, of course, besides the Pshat, no one's coming to deny the Pshat, but there's Ayin Panim LaTorah, And just as in this world we have different types of enemies, we have the Kenanim and we have Amalekim, we have different types of Yitzrei Hora. There's a Yitzer Hora that we can identify, we can dub as the Kenani Yitzer Hora. And there's a Yitzer Hora in this world we can dub as the Amaleki Yitzer Hora. What's the chilik? The Yitzer Hora that we call the Kenani is the internal Yitzer Hora. The Yitzer Hora of Amalek is the external. The Kenanim, as Mordechai mentioned, is in the land. In the Eretz HaKodesh. Eretz HaKodesh is just a mashal for the Neshama. Okay? For the Neshama. The Neshama of Klal Yisrael. The Neshama of Klal Yisrael. We have within us a Yetzer Hara to do the wrong thing. And then, you know, you walk down the street. No one's bothering you. I know that if I go into that store, I'm going to be come in contact with a new issues that I don't have to ordinarily deal with. Sitting right over here, I got problems. I have a tie for COVID, a tie for this, a tie for Mammon, a tie for Noshim. But then, but there are certain tithes I'm not accustomed to. If I'm going to go out into the world and I'm going to come in contact with certain cultures, certain things, out of curiosity, I'm going to get addicted to those things as well. A person never tasted alcohol, so it's not an issue. If someone gives you a drink, oh, now I've experienced something new. Never knew what a cigarette is. Someone gives you a cigarette, you get it cooked. There are certain things in every person in their life are external, and there are things that are internal that you struggle with. The Kenanim are internal. The Kenanim have to be obliterated. Hacharim tacharim, but not entirely. There does exist the possibility where you can take the internal Yetzer Hara and have it become your wife. Even though a Yetzer Hara, you got to destroy it. Hacharim tacharim. But if you're able to be objective, what's the definition of objective? Is look at it from the outside. If I'm able to take that Yetzer, that's the Kenani within me, and tell that woman, you know, we're going to destroy this. We're going to destroy this whole country here in a few minutes. So why don't you go on vacation, and then I'll meet you there, and then I'll deal with you. Then I can marry you. Isn't that what it says over here in this thing? You have the Kenanim. You're coming into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to obliterate them. So there's a legal loophole. What's the legal loophole? You like this woman? I have to kill you. The legal loophole is someone should tell her to go to another country. Okay, get a passport, get a visa. And then when it will come to conquer that country, and I'll see you, oh, you're a Kenani, but you're not living in the land. You fulfill what it says, Vishavisa Shivya. It doesn't say Vishavisa Shivya, I can marry you. Wow, what a legal loophole. That's a mushel. Your internal Yetzer Hara has to be obliterated. But there are times in your life where you can take your internal Yetzer Hara and use it to your advantage. What is the advantage? You're able to use a person as the Yetzer Hara to eat for food. So Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's when you're supposed to eat and drink. Person, there's a permissible way to be with women. There are certain inborn desires a person has that Chazal have given a person the ability to use them in your service. For you have to ace Hashem Elokech b'chol levavicha u'v'chol nafshecha. Chazal da'ash b'chol levavicha b'shnei, with both of your desires, the Yetzer Toiv and the Yetzer Hara. There's a way to take your internal Yetzer Hara and use it for good. You have a tithe for mama, and that's right. So strive to earn money, to use that money for good things. But when it comes to the external Yetzer Hara, things that you don't know from, what are you kriching where you don't belong? What are you going to go and you have to go learn how to vape? Whoever heard of this before? Chadoshim labekarim. Whoever heard? You never heard of it. It's a new thing. So now you have to go experience this. It's not part of you. It's an example. There are things out there in the world. They're not shaykh to you. It's not something you have to deal with. Therefore, this completely tinche as zecher amolek. Things that are external to you and you hear about exist out there in the world obliterate to the degree where it doesn't exist because it's not relevant to you. It's only trouble to you. And it's not an emergency. It's not something you have to go do right now because it's not in front of you right now. Right now you have your work cut out for you to deal with what's already on your plate. Okay, so to summarize, we have over here the beginning of the parasha and the end of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha alludes to the milchama of the Zion Ammonim. End of the parasha, the milchama of Amalek. Two nations that have to be obliterated to the end. Two different terms. The term used for hacharein tacharimim. Verse, timcha zecher Amalek. Each one has chumrois and kulois. The Zion Ammonim is now. Right now, obliterate them. No delay. Even Hayoim, right now, men, women, no exceptions. Amalek, Chumrah. Amalek, you don't have to do them now. Women don't have to go participate. It's for the Melech HaMashiach to take care of Leh when Mashiach comes. It's not for us to get involved right now. We have to remember, don't forget, but now, no. Don't get involved now. Wait for Melech HaMashiach, wait for Klal Yisrael to come together as an army, as a nation. Women not going to participate. Yet, Amalek is much worse. Because Amalek is Timcha Zecher Amalek. You don't have a Zecher, such a Chumah when it comes to Canaanim. The answer is, these enemies are symbolic of two forms of the Yetzer Hara. The internal Yetzer Hara and the external Yetzer Hara. The internal Yetzer Hara, there is no one that is exempt from. Men, women, children, and you got to obliterate it. But there are techniques when you can take your Yetzer Hara, Vishaviso Shivyoi. You can use it to your advantage if you know how. If you're clever enough and you're guided, there's a technique how you can use it to your advantage. You have to ace Hashem b'techa b'chol levavcha b'shnei yitzrei lev hakosav medaber. But the external Yetzer Hara, no. Don't go near him. You never knew from him. You don't need to know from him. That has to be timcha and zecher to zero, zilch, nothing, and it's not an emergency because it's not in front of you, and has to be handled by the authorities. Don't think you're the Bala boss to go take it into your own hand. There are authorities that are available out there that can manage, can take care of this for you. Okay, let's go to another idea.
One thing that I missed. Why the Shiver Amim, the internal gates are...
Eretz Yis, because who lives in Eretz Canaan? Eretz Canaan is the Eretz HaKodesh. It's our land. Who is living in our land? Who are the occupiers of our land? The Canaanim. Amalek, ki le'es of Nasati is Har Seir. They got their own. Mind your own business. They have their own land. Hashem gave Esav his own land. They're not part of us. They're over there. They're coming to make trouble for us. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Let's go to the mitzvah of Kan Tzipor. Ki Korei, Kan Tzipor, Lefonecha Baderech, B'chol Eitz, Oy Al Oretz, Efrechim Beitzim. Person comes across a nest, and the mother is hovering over the chicks, over the eggs. So what does the Torah say? Lo Sika Choim Al Habonim. Don't take the mother when the mother is resting upon the on the bonim. Shaleach Tishlach Esaim, V'es Habonim Tikach Loch. And then the Torah gives an incredible bracha. The bracha of Arichas Yomim. Leman yitav loch veharachta yomim. This is one of two. Where is the only other place in the Torah where it says that a person is blessed with Arichas Yomim and Leman yitav loch? In Kabeir Esavicha v'yasimecha. There the order is reversed. Leman yarichun yomecha u leman yitavloch. There the order is reversed, but you have the same exact two blessings. And there are a lot of darshanim will tell us why these two mitzvahs, or some will tell you the simple common answer is, this is the easiest mitzvah in the Torah, because you don't have to prepare for it. It just happens. Ki yikore. There's no such thing as actually going out on a mission. I'm now, today, my mission is to mekayim the mitzvah of shiluach ha kain. Hakan, shluch hakan. Shluach, shluach ha... There's no mitzvah, there's no mission going out to Mekayim Shluch HaKein. Doesn't exist. You have to go. It's Ki Yikore, a chance event. That's easy. I'm prepared for it. Ki B'Ravoim, oh, that's something that you got to struggle with every single day. That's an avodah. That's a very, very hard mitzvah. So the Torah says, this matan schar of Aricha Karboisa, please. This matan schar in this world, in the next world, Yom Shekula Oruch, all the various perushim for the easiest mitzvah all the way to the extreme, to the hardest mitzvah. That's the common drasha we've heard. I saw something yesterday which blew my mind. What I'm telling you now is not exactly what I saw in the Sefer, but I want to use it as a springboard. In the Sefer called Ginzei Nistorim, it's a relatively new Sefer, which is just it's a collection of ideas, some original ideas, called Ginzei Nistorim, and he starts upon an idea which really changes everything. Before we get to that, let me just tell you, we have to ask a hakdam what the Rambam says. The Rambam tells, what is the ta'ame ha-mitzvah? What's the reason for the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein? And he says, don't take advantage of a mother who is being moiser nefesh for her chicks or eggs. Under ordinary circumstances, there is no way in the world you would be able to chap the mother bird. You want dinner, you want a good meal for dinner, you want a chicken, you want whatever it is, you want this bird, the shluch can only apply to kosher birds. You want a good dinner? Oh, look at that, look. You want that bird? What are the chances you are going to be able to catch that bird? Almost zero. You have to have some very sophisticated equipment to trap the bird, to find the bird, to be able to capture that bird. But look at this. The mother over here has chicks or eggs, and the chicks and the eggs can't fly, can't escape. So the mother has no choice but to make herself vulnerable to man in order to protect her chicks and her eggs. So the mother is hovering over the chicks and the eggs to protect them. And the mother knows good and well, but by me doing so, I'm now vulnerable. There might be an evil man out there that will chap me, that will take me and consume me. It's worth it. It's worth it to take the risk to be moiser nefesh. Can I say, please? It's not. It's very disturbing. Okay, it's right in front of me. Try to be more discreet. It's very to see the mother bird. To see the mother bird, she makes herself vulnerable for her children. She takes the risk to be caught because she's moiser nefesh for her children. The Torah says, don't you dare take advantage of that. Don't take advantage of a mother who is showing rachamim for her children and putting herself in danger. It's not nice. Therefore, if you see the mother hovering over the chicks, you can't take the mother. The best we'll let you take are the chicks or the eggs, but the mother, send her away. You want to go take something, that's a bottom tikkah, that you can take, but don't take the mother. Ikur is not. That's what how the Rambam learns pshat in the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, not to take advantage of a mother showing rachamim to her children, and by doing so, she makes herself vulnerable. Okay, now, those are the facts. Now let's connect the dots. In this Sefer, Ginzei Nistaros, he says an incredible chiddush. He says, everyone says there are two blessings in this world, in the Torah, of Leman yarichun yomechu leman yitavlach. Ask anyone on the streets, how many times, how many mitzvahs in the Torah is there a blessing of arichas yom and leman yitavlach? Two! If you get the question wrong, then you go back to first grade. There is And shiluach hakein. Wrong. Gang. Wrong. If you're in jeopardy, it's the wrong answer. There is only one blessing in the Torah, one mitzvah, one and only one mitzvah where you will receive the blessing of Hashem, leman yitav loch, and arichas yamin. Only one mitzvah. What's that one mitzvah? Kabeid es avicha v'yasimecha. Leman yitav loch, uleman yarichun yamecha, v'chulu v'chulu. That's the only mitzvah. Oh, what are you, it's Nandali, what are you saying? It says here, the feirish in the pasuk over here, there's arichas yamin. No, let me explain. You come over here to the mother bird, and you see a mother showing rachamim upon her children. The Torah says, excuse me, sir, don't take advantage. Shaleach tishalach esayim. Let the mother go. V'yes habonim tikach lach. If you're really hungry, no, settle for the next best, settle for the children. What? Put a stop right there. Stop! The pasuk is over. What happens? You walk away. Wow, look at that. The Torah did not allow me to take advantage of the mother who showed rachamim. And now you begin to think, you know, I also have a mother. You know that? I didn't grow out of the ground. I also have a mother. Did my mother have rachamim for me? Did my mother, was she moiser nefesh for me? You bet she was. 9 months carrying you in her stomach? Who would do that? Okay? You give someone, I want you to hold this in your pocket for 9 months. You go try to ask someone to do you a favor. Just to guard something for 9 months, keep it in your pocket for 9 months. See what they tell you. Okay? And then the pain, the tsar chevli leida. And then to raise you, to feed you. Oh, who fed you until you were 2 years old? How did you survive? You know something? I also have a mother. And my mother was moiser nefesh for me. And look at me. I've taken advantage of my mother. Because my mother brought me into this world for a purpose. For a purpose. For the purpose of serving Hashem, of being a good person. Even the most basic, why do you have children? Just to be a good person. Have I fulfilled the mission of my mother? My mother was moiser nefesh to bring me into this world that I should have a better life, a good life. I should succeed. And she was moiser nefesh. I took everything. I'm a good taker. But did I give anything in return? Did I do anything for her? Did I even fulfill the mission, what I should do in this world? No. I'm a taker. I took advantage of my own mother. The Torah said, don't take advantage of your mother. Hey, you're walking down the street, you see a mother hovering over the eggs. Oh, look at that. Tonight I'm going to have a good dinner. The chance of you ever capturing a bird are zero. It's only because the mother has rachmanis on her child, that's why you have the opportunity. Don't take advantage of a mother having rachmanis on her child. Okay, I won't. And then you think, I also have a mother who had rachmanis upon me, and I took advantage of her by not being true to what she wanted from me. And that's very disturbing. That's a very rude awakening. And the person says, you know, maybe I should reciprocate. Maybe I should call my mom and say hello. And if my mom is not alive, maybe I should be a good person. By being a good person, that is the ultimate kibud avoy, the ultimate reciprocation, that I'm mechabed my mother and father, not just, it includes the mother as well, the father as well, go into all the details, but this is, I should reciprocate. Oh, you're going to start to reciprocate. You're going to start now to understand what it means, kibud av va'im. oh, now you will receive the blessing, the one and only blessing of the Torah, of Leman Yarichun Yomech Uleman Yitavloch, that's written in the Aseres Hadibros by Kabed Esavicho V'yasimecha. So when it says now, Shaleach Tishlach Hashem V'yasabonim Tikach Loch, it's going to trigger the memory of your own mother. And then you're going to come to be Mechabed your mother. And then Leman, you'll now first receive the reward of the Aseres Hadibros for giving honor to your mother and father. Leman Yitav Loch V'harachta Yomim. And here it's backwards because it's only in hindsight. B'shas Maisa, when your mother did everything for you, I don't appreciate it. Okay, that's a little bit going, you don't need to go into that. But there's only, again, review. You ask the average person, how many mitzvahs are there in the Torah that have a blessing? L'man yitav loch v'arachta yamim. Two. Wrong. Not saying wrong. I am part of the Torah. This is the drush. One. There's only one mitzvah. Kabedes avicha v'yasimecha. Shiluach hakein is just a trigger for a person to appreciate his parents. And thus, when you come to appreciate your parents, there's a renewal of the bracha of Kabed Esavicha V'yasimecha. And you have to understand, the mitzvah of Kabed Esavicha V'yasimecha is off the charts for one very simple reason, the famous Chazal. When Hashem gave the world, the Klal Yisrael, the Aseres Hadibros, they were eavesdropping. All the nations of the world were listening. And they said, oh, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Oh, so they all start, yeah. Hashem gave the Torah for his own covenant. Lo yeluch Elohim Achem. Yeah, you see, I told you so. I told you so, no other gods. They were mocking Hashem. Yeah. Hashem likes covenant. Hashem likes, I love covenant. Lo yisisa, shame Hashem Elokecha Lashav. Yeah, goes to prove the point. Don't say Hashem's name in vain. Shabbos. Yeah, Hashem made the world. You see, goes to ready four examples that the whole thing is all about Hashem's covenant. And then when Hashem said, "Kabeid esavicha v'yasimecha," the world was shocked. The world was shell shocked. What? The Ribbono Shel Olam is commanding that you should give kavod to someone other than himself? Are you talking such a thing? They didn't know what to say. And they then said, it must then be that when Hashem said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, it wasn't for his own honor. It was for the world's honor. It's for their good. When it came to the mitzvah of Kabed Esavicha V'yasimecha, that's when the world came to appreciate the purpose of creation and the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And thus, it makes logical sense. Why? That's the mitzvah. L'man yarichun yomecha l'man yitavlach. Kabeid asavicha v'yasimecha is everything. It's the gilui that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not do this for his selfish reason. He created this world to do chesed. He did not create this world to be a taker. He created the world to be a giver. And that's where the blessing is. Leman yarichun yomecho leman yitavloch. That's where it starts and that's where it ends. When you come to Shiluach HaKein and you understand the reason of the mitzvah, don't take advantage of a mother who is Meiser Nefesh, for you to succeed. And that triggers a disturbing thought that I have to reciprocate. I have to be mechabed my parents. What they've given me, not just to say thank you, but to live the life they had in mind for me. That's the ultimate kavod. Oh, now you're going back to the Aseres Hadibros. You're returning to the one and only Leman Yarichun Yomecho Leman Yitavloch. Okay, let's go to another idea.
possible that what you're saying is one mitzvah. It's actually two parts to the one mitzvah. The first part is kaved, and the second part is ahavot, because you are required to show kavod, the appearance, but not to have ahavot. But by having the second one, where you recognize what a mother is giving you, you feel ahavot.
Correct. Okay, that's correct. It's all in line of what we're saying. That's correct. Everything you're saying is all part of the same idea of what we're saying. Okay, let's go to another idea. End of the parasha, the mitzvah of Yibum. Very interesting mitzvah of Yibum. A person, Chamon Litzlan, dies without children, and he has a brother. So we know there's a mitzvah that the oldest brother, L'chatchila, b'dieved, any brother, should step up to the plate, should marry the almana, the widow, and they'll have children, and the one who marries her, he takes his place, he now receives his chelik in the Yerusha. The hoya habuchari, there is the pshat in the pasuk, and then there's more of the drush. The drush of the pasuk is that they'll have a child, and the child will be named after, will carry the name, the legacy of the person who died. That's not the pshat in the pasuk. Anyone who learns Masechet Yevamos, you learn Rashi, it's a very rude awakening of the pshat of the pasuk verse, the way people interpret the pasuk, al derech drush. But let's now, it's Friday afternoon, so we can learn the drush, not the pshat. V'hoya ha-bechor. The bechor means that, we'll just make believe, it's almost embarrassing to say because that's what it says in the pasuk, but it means the child that will be born will yokum al shem achiv hanes. What is this all about? The mitzvah. Now, what happens if he doesn't want to do Yibum? Oh, you don't want to do Yibum. Oh, Chalitza ceremony. Mm-hmm. You come to Beis Din, you put on special shoes, and the widow, the grieving widow, she gets down and she unties the shoelaces. Okay, the shoelaces of the brother-in-law. She pulls off the shoe and she spits. Does she spit on him or spit in front of him? Okay, and how does she spit? So it doesn't say anywhere that she spits on him. Okay, the spit does not make contact, not that I know of. Okay, does not make contact. She doesn't spit at him. She spits in front of him. And does she actually spit? So I don't know. People, I saw a demonstration and the instructions were not to actually spit. It was to drool. You collect saliva. It takes a long time to collect enough saliva in your mouth where the saliva drips. You don't actually spit. Someone told me, I don't know what I'm talking about. He went to a ceremony where they actually spat. I'm sure they're both good. There are different opinions exactly. The ceremony is not a very pleasant ceremony. Whatever it is. Okay, what? And they say, Kocho ye'ose lo'ish asher lo yivnes beis achiv hanal. Virtually, all of the commentators interpret in one way or another the chalitza ceremony as a means of disgracing the brother-in-law. You low life. Here you have an opportunity to build, to rebuild the home of your brother. And you good for nothing, uchi person. Like the children say, you're uchi, I'm going to tell my mommy on you. You bad person, how could you not go and rebuild the home of the deceased of your brother? And therefore you're deserving to be disgraced. Take off your shoes. It should be an ovel, avelos, no shoes. The spit is an act of disgrace. I'm not going to that. There are dime a dozen of the commentators that will analyze the actions of Chalitza as a way of putting the brother-in-law in shame for not wishing to marry his... I can't find the Mitzvah of Yibum. Let me find the Pasuk. Chaf Hei. Pasuk Chaf Per Chaf Hei. All right, say that one more time. Wait, what parak? What parak? No, can't be Chaf Hei. Chaf Hei is Kisavai.
No, Chaf Hei.
Parak Chaf Hei? Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Perikafei ki yeshu achim yachiv. Perikafei parshas ki seitze. We're in the right parsha. Baruch Hashem. Ki yeshu achim yachdav umeis achan mehem. Okay. Now, here's the issue. Here's what I want to bring out a whole new idea that adaraba. Chazal make it very, very clear that especially today by Ashkenazim, it is unacceptable to do Yibum. We don't do Yibum. Even the Sfardim, very, very rarely, if at all, do they do Yibum. Why not? A Yivama is an Erva. If she had children, it would be a Chiv Kores to marry a brother's wife. It's not a simple thing to marry a Yivama. It's like marrying, it's incest. It's mamish, in the Torah's view, it's incest. So, Torah is telling you to do mamish incest? Are you talking? Yeah, it's telling you. So the Torah says, do it, do it. So, Nechnami, the Sfardim, some of the Sfardim, they work with that. Ashkenazim don't work with that. They say, it's an erva. It's scary. And there's a way out to do chalitza. You do chalitza. Are you on such a madrega to do Yibum? To do L'Shem? If you're doing it, L'Shem Shemayim, okay. Can every person today say doing L'Shem Shemayim? No one can say. Okay, so this is a whole big debate. It's a problem. The bottom line is, we don't do it. The Ashkenazim don't do it. And what the Torah is teaching you lessons, teaching you many things in the Torah. It never happened. It's here to teach you. It theoretically can happen. You can do it. People do it. But there's more of a lesson to be learned than actually for it to be practical. Because there are real, real issues. There are real problems in practically marrying the Yavam. First of all, you can have two wives. You're already married. Cher ben Gershon. It's not even before, many commentators, they write, even before Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon was never done. It never, ever happened. It was never accepted in Klal Yisrael for a man to marry more than one wife after Yaakov Avinu. Okay? Yaakov Avinu was the exception. We get, you learn the Mishnayis, you get the impression, every man is polygamy, every man had 10 wives. No such thing. These are all theoretical cases. In Jewish history, it was unacceptable for a Jewish man to marry more than one wife. Rabbeinu Gershom saw that the Jews are getting weak. He just wanted to solidify what was already the custom. Okay, it's not a good thing to marry more than one wife, period. It's not a healthy thing. So if a man already is married, so what do you want from the poor guy? I got to go marry another wife? To be kind in the midst of Yibum? Hard enough paying tuition for my own children. I have to go now. What's going on? So you're going to blame him? You're going to be mevazeh him? You're going to spit on him? You're going to take off his shoe and say you should be an ovel? Is that really what it means? Are we really, every single time when a person practically cannot do Yibum, we have to go and be mevazeh him? All the Mefarshim say, come on, they all work with this. The Darshan, they're being mevazeh him. All right, there is a bizarre, you can't help your brother, but you always have to suffer the disgrace. So I want to suggest to you something that Adarab, there are times when a person practically cannot do Yibum. And what we say to the person is, listen, you can't do Yibum to have a child, and that child will carry the legacy of your brother, but do something else. Do something to preserve his legacy. If you can have a biological child, wow. If you can't, so name a building after him. Go and sponsor something. Go and become a deuce. Everyone knows what they can do, what they can't do. Every person should find a niche in this world and use that as a springboard to preserve the legacy of the deceased. That's what chalitza is all about. Now let me prove this to you. The word vayorok means to spit. But the word vayorok also means to gird yourself, to arm yourself, to strengthen yourself. Vayorok eschanichov. When Avraham went to war against Amalek, which also was a miss of Yibam, was also a miss of Yibam, by the way, because there, when Avram went to save Lot, who was Lot? Lot was the child of his dead brother. Okay? Avram felt indebted to his dead brother to preserve his legacy. The only one that, who's the legacy of Haran? Lot! Avraham, I can't let Lot die. If Lot dies, my brother dies all over again. All my brother has is this guy, Lot. If he's going to die, my brother's going to die. Avraham was the first one to be Mekayim Yibum. He didn't have to be Mekayim Yibum literally by marrying the Almana, but the purpose is preserve the legacy of the brother. I'll take care of Lot. He's my man. Wherever I go, he goes at any cost. Now he's in danger. I'm going to be mechazik myself. Vayorok. Vayorek, what's it? Vayorek. It's the same letters. Vayorek eschanichov. It means mizarez. He was mechazik himself. Spitting, look, ayin panim l'torah. Spitting is spitting. Whatever it means, it means. But you cannot ignore the fact that that same word is used as reference of chizuk. Now, let me tell you a Gemara, a fascinating Gemara that really was beyond us, but you cannot ignore, and a lot of Mepharshim talk about this, and that is the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Samach Vav. I think it's a Mishnah, it's a Mishnah, Mamish, not even a Gemara, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Hilchos Shabbos. A child, the laws of Hoitzah on Shabbos, what are you allowed to carry in the street, what are you not allowed to carry? Clothing, you're allowed to wear. You're allowed to take out into the Rishos Haram, the things you're not allowed to. Question, is a child allowed to go out into the street with his father's shoelaces? It's a Mishnah, with Kisharim. Okay, well, if we have time, we'd read the Gemara word for word, and the Rashi and the Farshim, and it says, yes, it's permitted. What does that mean? So Rashi and the Gemara and Rashi and the Farshim say something that we really don't understand what it means. That is, there was some condition in ancient times, that a child was so attached to his father that if he was separated one moment from his father, he can die. He can come lidei pikuach nefesh. There was an emotional bond. I don't know if this is a physical metzias or this is a supernatural metzias, but it's what it says in the Gemara. A bond between a child and a father. Emotional bond. Some learn that he's afraid the father's going to die. Whatever the story is. And what did they do in ancient times? Again, I don't know what this means, but it's a Gemara. They would take the shoelace on the right foot of the father and he would wrap it around his arm. He would tie it to his arm. To his left arm. I have no idea what this means, but it's a Gemara. Daf Samachei on the days in Masechta Shabbos, a child who is emotionally attached to his father, and if the father were separated, it would be a problem. They would take the shoelace on the right foot of the father, remove it, tie it around his left arm, and that kept him in a frame of mind where he a mentally healthy state of mind. Shaila Shabbos Kodesh. Is this child allowed to go out into the street with this thing wrapped around his arm? Is it Chil Shabbos? No, it's not. It's part of his body. It's not Chil Shabbos. It's permitted. Okay. Here, we're doing exactly, over here, when the Yavama, there are two things that the Yavama does. Number one, she basically loosens the shoelace. The eager part of Chalitza is the right foot, of the Yavam, you take his right foot and you undo the shoelace. Ever saw a demonstration of the Chalitza? It's all about the shoelaces. These massive shoelaces. She has to open up the shoelaces and loosen the shoelaces and then pull off the shoe. By the shoelace. You have to pull the shoe by the shoelaces. And then she spits Vayorek, Vayorok, which is Vayorok. The Yarko Lefanov. The Yarko Lefanov is the same word as Vayorek Eschanichov, which means Mizares, Mimachazek yourself. Removing a shoelace from the right foot of a person, of the right foot of the person, to remove the shoelace is basically what it says in Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Don't forget about this person. You're connected to this person. A child is emotionally connected to the person. The way you will be able to carry on life in a normal way, you'll always have that reminder of your father. The child will always have the reminder of the father with the father's shoelace. Why the shoe? I don't know, but that was the metzias. That is what we're telling the brother-in-law. Listen, ideally, we would very much like that you should marry this almana and have children. But you can't. it's not always practical. Or maybe you can't, maybe you feel it's not right, whatever the situation. We're not blaming you. No one's blaming you. But just because you're not going to marry her and have children with her to preserve the legacy, don't forget about your brother. Remember your brother. And the Yavama says, the grieving widow says to the brother-in-law, I'm just a woman. There's very little I can do. There's never been a president of the United States that's a woman, you know? What can women do? With discrimination. But you're a man. You're his brother. Do something. She takes off the shoelace. Just like a child who's attached to a father ties the shoelace around his arm, she takes off his shoelace. It's a symbol. It's symbolic. Don't forget your brother. She spits, similar to how Avraham, the first one who was mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum, vayorek eschanicha, he girded himself, he armed mezorez, he armed his soldiers.
So that's, when Avraham does that, he's tightening.
He's tightening.
The belt, and here you're loosening.
So she's saying to him, don't forget. She's saying, she's giving him a message. You can't marry me, fine. But you still have an obligation to be like Avraham Avinu to preserve the legacy. These two acts are symbolic. One's the Beferisha Mishnah. The shoelace on the right foot is an object which serves a continuous memory. The act of spitting is the same letters as Vayorek, what Avraham did to show his devotion to his dead brother. Don't forget about your brother. I'm not being a vaza you. I'm reminding you. You can't marry, you can't do the ideal, do the next thing. Now, let's go one level further and we'll stop. We, every single day, put on tefillin. We put on two different types of tefillin. The tefillah shel yad and the tefillah shel rosh. The tefillah shel yad is chalitza. The tefillah shel rosh is yibum. There are two relationships we have with the Ribbono shel Olam. On the one hand, we have the tefillin shel rosh. What's the tefillin shel rosh? V'rohu kol ame haaretz ki shein Hashem nikro olecha. Bonim atem laHashem Elokecha. We are bonim to Hashem. Not only are we bonim with the Bechor. Bini Bechori Yisrael. With the Bechor who carries Hashem's name. V'hoyo haBechor asher teled yokum al shem ochiv. Okay, now we have to go into, it's a mashal, ochiv hames, by Baruch Shem, it's chayim. But when we put on the tefillin shel rosh, v'roh kol am eretz kishem Hashem nikro lecha, with the bechor, v'hoya habechor, this is an open revelation to the world. We are bringing the legacy of the Ribbono shel Olam into this world. We are bringing the Shechina into this world. But sometimes, Rabbeisai, we're in galus, and in galus, we're very limited what we can do to be mefarsem the shame Hashem. So we do the next best thing. We take a shoe strap. In the zechus of Avraham Avinu saying seroich naal, we were zechut to the ritzua shel tefillin. The ritzua shel tefillin comes from a shoe strap. Avram said, I'm not taking from you, Melech Sodom, a thread or a shoe strap. And because he said those words, I'm going to reward you. Your children are going to have shoe straps. What are the shoe straps? On the arm. Are you putting a shoe strap on your arm every single day? What is this all about? Every single day, we are mekayim what it says in the Gemara, in Masechta Shabbos, and Daf Samachei Omedes, that if a child has gaguim, has a yearning for his father, and there's a pachad that this child's not going to be able to survive. So you know what you do? You take the father's right shoe strap and you tie it on the child's left arm. The tefillin shel yad is the shoe strap, the hadoim raglov of the Ribbono shel Olam. Why do we need the tefillin shel yad? We have already tefillin shel rosh. V'hoya habachar. There's a time for yibum, and there's a time for chalitza. Sometimes, b'zman she yisrael oisim ritzono shel makom, we're able to bring the shechin into this world. Yibum! That's right! In the full glory. But sometimes, it's not always possible. V'hoya l'chol ois. You can't bring into this world the gili shechina with yibum. V'hoya abuchar asher yakum al asher yakum. So you know, but don't forget, do what you could do. Do the just like the Avama says to the Yavam, you don't want to marry me? Fine. But don't forget about your brother. Let me give you two reminders. The shoe straps and of the right foot and Vayorek Eschanichov. We take that shoe strap of Hashem's right foot. This world is Hashem's Hadoim Raglov. Hashem Shechina comes down into this world. We take that shoe strap, we put it on our arm like chalitza. We do what we can do in order to preserve Hashem's greatness, even in difficult times of Golus of Hester upon him. And when we can, our tefillin shel rosh are exposed for the world to see. V'hoya habuchor asher yakum al shem. Kishem Hashem nikra lecha v'yodu mimega. So yichalitza doesn't necessarily have to be, as many commentators say, an act of disgrace. It's not. It can't be like that. It really can't be, because there are practical reasons why you can't do yichalitza most of the time. And the proof is that we don't even do it. Ashkenazim. It's unacceptable by Ashkenazim to do it. It's rather a polite reminder. Do what you can do to preserve his legacy. Parallel that to Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh. Have a wonderful Shabbos.